blame it on the goose. Got you feeling loose, blame it on the drum. Got you in the zone.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, how about that? One in the books, still two to go of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. Songs from the year 2009, from 23 all the way up to 1, simply because that was the last time the Yankees sniffed a World Series title.
That's right.
And let's hope it continues, because if they don't win it this year, this will be the first decade.
I saw that.
That they had not won at least one World Series title. I had
They hadn't been to an AL. That they hadn't been to the series.
Well, I have a friend that you both know that is the most diehard of diehard Yankee fans that could remind me of all of this crap.
Who?
Tony. Nyla, the equipment manager of the Yankees, is an absolute. He'd love to be the equipment manager of the Yankees.
I bet he would.
He and his dad, lifetime Houstonians, but his dad was a Yankee fan. So
I get it.
Tony's a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
And I see him get into some mad crap talking mess on Twitter. Kudos to him, because he goes toe to toe with everybody. But boy, he was having fun after game one.
Yeah, I bet. How'd it go in game two and three?
I'm not getting in the middle of it.
What's his Twitter? I'll go see how it goes.
At Anthony Nyla.
Spell it?
You can spell it. it's already, I think it's either secured or whatever. But Tone is a massive Yankee fan, and I give him credit for sticking to his guns and hanging with his team.
Yeah, so. It is secured.
Dang.
See? He follows me. I guess I need to follow him back.
That would
now
be nice.
It's pending.
Well, good. I'll tell Tony.
Me and him are going to go at it
I'm
now.
I'll tell Tony to decline that.
Yeah, dude, that's fine. But he and I are going to go at it now.
All right. So, Nationals in the World Series.
Yep.
Astros up 2-1. If you're under a rock and didn't hear, tonight's game has already been postponed. So no baseball tonight. Back at it tomorrow, weather permitting. And they're saying it's going to be bitey cold and a bit windy.
Well, depends if it's – and Steven Uzik, Sports Map. He wrote the Sports Map article, by the way. Go check it out, sportsmap.com. When you're checking out Joel's article.
Yes, please.
On Garrett Cole. If it's blowing out, which he said it will be, that's going to be advantage hitters for sure, even in the cold.
Yeah.
Because I think cold is usually advantage pitchers.
I'm sorry, I've lost all. Against this lineup, I've lost my confidence in Greinke.
Really?
And I know at Minute Maid, it was a quality start. And I know he didn't get any offensive support. I just know that this team have such big swingers and all that power. I would love it. I would love nothing more.
It is a little nerve-wracking, especially with that short porch and right.
That's what I'm saying. Greinke, where these guys are so strong, like check swings, especially if the wind's blowing, right? Yeah.
Just those, and I know it's got the hook in it, but still, when you're throwing up six, that's batting practice speed.
So the other thing you take into consideration for what you're talking about, Barry, is the fact that when they asked Reddick what he hit and walk us through the home run, he said, I had been over swinging. I had been trying to do too much, and I had been to really try to, to put a lot on it. He goes, I essentially almost went to my opposite field swing and just tried to smooth something, and you saw how far it went. How far it went was the upper deck in right field.
Pretty crazy.
That's what can happen from a Josh Reddick. Now put Aaron Judge, Sanchez, all the different big bats they got in that lineup, and then give them a lack of velocity.
Did you notice, by the way, too, that...
To face.
Because you bringing that up reminded me of something. You said Reddick figured something out in batting practice and decided he was going to go the other way and smooth it out and not try to be as aggressive.
Figured out he's going to be traded at the end of the year, so he might as well get a good run.
Correa said the same thing. Hits the big game winner, 0-for-4 last night with 2 strikeouts. So whatever he figured out only lasted one game. Need to keep figuring it out.
He must have got a massage for this.
And Yordan Alvarez probably needs to move down a spot or two in the lineup.
I wanted to be wrong, but based on the fact that of his 26 postseason at-bats, 13 of them have been strikeouts.
Yeah.
That his power numbers
are... Well, he had one last night, and he got on base with a walk.
Power numbers are way down.
Power numbers are non-existent.
I'm telling you, at least, even if it's just for one game, just to get something out of that slot instead of hoping for someone to get it right, I would put Aledmys Diaz or someone that's a veteran
hitter
in there.
You're the same guy that wants to move George Springer out of the one spot.
No, I did not. That was not me.
You're the same guy that wants to move.
Don't lump me into every...
Michael Brantley down in the lineup because he's not hitting.
Sometimes a day off does players good. It gives them a chance to stop pressing. Maybe they can see something that they wouldn't see.
You don't
see.
Give George Springer a day off. You let him work his way out
George
of the slump.
George Springer is an established, several years major league player.
Do you realize that Yordan Alvarez had the third highest OPS since he came into the league?
In the regular season, Barry, and he's never been in an environment
That guy hit
one, he's
of
never
it.
Been in the playoffs, and two, he's never been in an environment like this series on this stage in New York.
Doesn't matter. You look at how calm, cool, and collective that dude is. He's never been one of – Kyle Tucker, I could see the moment being too big for him because when he came up, it was too big for him. And you lose a significant amount of potential production when you go from Yordan Alvarez to Aledmys Diaz.
Well, since he's not producing, especially in this series, I'm problem. Not losing a whole lot.
No. I mean, he's what, 4-7, 0-10 now?
One
Yankee
game
series.
Without him ain't going to kill you because one game with him hasn't done anything for you.
No, but at least he's drawn a walk in two of the three games.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, I mean.
He also broke a bat walking out of the batter's box after another strikeout.
They're 2-0 when he draws a walk in the Yankee series.
Well, let's just hope he gets a free pass then next game.
Just coming up with stuff.
Man.
Look, I'm not going to defend his lack of production.
You're defending him.
No, I'm not going to.
You crapped on him all year, especially from the get-go.
I did not crap on him all year, but he hit well in the Tampa series.
I love the
against
guy.
Against better pitching overall.
I love the guy, but right now he's scuffling so bad that in the DH position, because AJ isn't going to move him, just for one game, give him a night off.
He had six games and four hits. He hadn't had a hit in the last four games.
Well, coincidentally, we haven't played four in the series, but that's fine.
I'm just saying, as quick as he can get cold, he can get
hot.
A
big moment.
And as quick as he can get hot, he can get cold. You let him hit his way out of it. I'm not going to.
Well, he's an icebox right now. So if you want to freeze your meat, you can put it in the freezer.
Well, I'm not freezing nobody's meat, but I'm not going to sit here and let you talk like you're an uneducated fan that doesn't know anything about baseball.
You know I do. So that's why I didn't say anything about Springer. I haven't talked about moving anybody down. I didn't do it during those situations.
You also didn't like Will Harris in the middle of the year. Get out.
No, I had issues with a certain.
No take backs.
Nick, I didn't like him.
No take
backs. I had a
backs.
Few issues when he had a little bit of a dry spell. Not nearly the disdain that I have for Rondon or for a lot of the other guys that have completely crapped the linens and continue to do so. Oh, Joe Smith was in my crosshairs last night. I love the fact that, you know, in the past, Joe Smith has been the Mike Trout out, where they bring him in for at least one hitter to get Mike Trout out. But they bring him in, and he's done a great job with Aaron Judge. But holy cow, right after that at bat and getting the one out, pow, bam, here we go.
See, I just, your ideas.
This is the playoffs. You can't afford to make mistakes. Joe Smith is a situational pitcher. Get him in for, if you want to make him just the Judge guy or whatever. But he's not there to soak up a bunch of innings.
He's there to face righties. And he was facing the righty, and they took him deep. That's going to happen on occasion.
He sure did.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. Your expectations of perfection. There was 133 pitches.
I demand perfection.
There was 133 pitches thrown in the entire game. The bullpen threw 21 of them and threw two innings. Now think about that for a second. That's 10 pitches an inning by your bullpen, and yet you're going to sit here and bitch that Joe Smith gave up a home run. It was the only run they got. Mistakes are going to be made. Leave
this segment
guys.
Brought to you by Agree to Disagree.
Why do you hate the Astros so much?
I don't hate the Astros.
Yes,
I want them to win so badly that I'm like, in that situation,
by the way,
when Cole has gotten you that far.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
I would have gone.
You're playing the matchups.
If you're going to mix up the rotation because Will Smith has been so good. Will Smith?
Jeez,
I just did the Fox.
You did
Will Harris.
Oh,
And because Will Harris only on one pitch got the first out.
You didn't even appreciate that, did you?
I'm trying to ignore you because I thought you were going to pick on me.
I was.
Okay.
I said, now with Fox, you don't have a leg to stand on.
It's not funny.
All right, digress.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
But because you're so trusting in Will Harris.
Yes.
Now, that even if you put Presley in, if it was nine outs to get, but because you only had six outs to get, I would have stuck with Will Harris. And then I almost would have stuck. Once I went to Will Harris, I would have stuck with him to start the ninth.
That's what I tweeted. I bring Will Harris out till he gives up a base runner.
I was gonna tweet it and I didn't. But I was like, no. In my mind, simply because you've got Osuna, who's been up and down, but he seems to got it back on track.
Yeah,
I stick with the guy that is hot right now.
Yeah, and not only that, you worry about these guys seeing too much. I mean, this is what they're talking about with the bullpen of the Yankees. Is the more that they have to go out there, the more the Astros see them, the more they get a read on them. Well, Harris was already out there. So you can actually prevent Osuna from having to enter the game and let Harris do his thing, unless it starts to unravel. And then you bring Osuna and get the win, because that's obviously the most important thing. But I trust Will Harris. And some dude jumped on me on Twitter. He's like, "Oh, you don't let Will Harris go out there for the ninth. He's not the closer." I was like, "What does that mean that he's not the closer?" Will Harris is the pitcher that AJ Hinch goes to in the most high leverage situations. You're talking about the playoffs in Yankee Stadium in the ninth inning. It's pretty high leverage.
And you got
just
him all warmed up for what, four pitches? So he's only throwing four pitches.
He threw three pitches to get two outs.
Why not bring him back out?
Exactly.
I'm totally with you on that.
Just the fact that he's the closer doesn't mean he can't go out there for the ninth.
That's a title alone. And it's what? That's changed. Because guess what? Will Harris was your seventh inning guy. And now he's your eighth inning guy.
Well, yeah, because you don't know what Presley's.
Because Presley's been kind of a wild card lately.
I wonder if it's part of his injury or if he just lost some of his control.
I think it's a combination of things. I think he's gotten out of that kind of, because he was their high leverage guy all year.
Yeah.
And he got out of that. And then I think based on coming off an injury, maybe it doesn't feel the same. Or there's just, he didn't get back in his groove. But that's why I don't understand the whole Joe Smith. You have all these different options, all these different guys to choose from. And I know Joe Smith has playoff experience, but that late in a game, I just didn't think Joe Smith would be the first guy you go to off of a Gerrit Cole start.
Yankees in their lineup. Now, this has some old bats. I don't know where some of these are coming from. But as a team, according to ESPN's batter versus pitcher, Yankees are hitting 163 against Joe Smith.
And I've told you in the past, he's been the Yankee killer.
Aaron Judge 0-for-2. Aaron Hicks is 2-for-5. DJ LeMahieu. So he doesn't have a lot of, because he's a reliever, obviously. Encarnacion is 2-for-12 against Joe Smith. So I get why you're running him out there. And again, you're playing the matchups. So Joe Smith is definitely a matchup guy. Joe Smith, you bring in to face righties. Will Harris, you're going to bring in to get lefties out or high leverage.
And the other thing is, you're going from a straight power pitcher to a guy with an unorthodox delivery.
That could really
screw up the timing of a hitter. So I get all that. But I just think that late in the game, I go Will Harris and I go Osuna before I go anybody else.
Yeah.
So, all right. So game four is going to be tomorrow night from the Bronx.
Not today.
So you can watch your Rockets tonight as they get their preseason wrapped up. And Nick, I'm proud of you for not going because you're sick, but you're a trooper because you're here. So congratulations to you.
You disappeared. Did we have to go throw up or what?
No, I found some Alka-Seltzer in my backpack.
You had to do the old hangover boo-boo? That's the worst.
You found Alka-Seltzer in your backpack?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. No, I didn't have to do that.
You just want
to
lay in the tub and do it. You're just like, I don't even want to sit here. I'm just going to lay down.
You want to put a baby Ruth in the bathtub.
Yeah. You don't have to draw water. You just turn the shower on and let it clean out. It's all going to the same spot anyways.
Disgusting. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
A new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Don't speak.
I'm always looking down at all I see. Painted faces fill the places I can't read.
Okay, now you can talk. I can't let Joel ruin that chorus. You know what I'm saying?
It's a great song.
You're like, don't speak. Shut your mouth. Shut it up.
It's Nick trying to put the brakes on.
Yeah.
When he's getting down to business. Shh, don't speak.
Don't.
The funny thing is I'm not even going to act like I knew who sang this song.
Kings of Leon.
I did not know that.
See him in they hate each other.
Really?
They hate each other.
The usual Kings of Leon?
Really? They really don't like each other?
In the early years. No. The Kings of Leon, I believe two of them are brothers. There's two, the Black Crows and the Kings of Leon. They hate each other. And when Brent Berry was on the Rockets, and Brent Gunning, who's still an assistant coach for the Rockets, he said to Brent, Bonesy is Brent Berry. Bonesy said to me and Gunning, he goes, "Hey, you guys got anything going tonight?" We're like, "No, not really." He goes, "You want to go to a concert?" We're like, "Who's playing?" He goes, new band, Kings of Leon." He goes, "I'm a huge fan." We're like, "We have no idea." We go to what was the arena? I mean, not the Arena Theater. What was that? It's the one next to the Hard Rock.
Yeah,
there's Verizon had 85. Wireless. Yeah, it has.
It was a Verizon Wireless at the
time.
Yeah,
it was. Verizon yes. Wireless Theater. Yeah. We saw them with like 5,000 people. They put on a show. They were amazing. But Bonesy's giving us all the background. He's like, "Yeah, when they're liking each other, they're fantastic. When they hate each other, they suck."
Really?
But then there's some of their music started to get mainstream plays, and I'm like, "Damn, we saw them. They got a great sound. They're really good." And the other band that's like that, though, that I said was who was the what?
The Black Crows.
Black Crows, but they also have kind of infighting sometimes. Mm-hmm. Their bigger deal was if they didn't do drugs before the concert started, they would be off the charts. But if they were tripping, they could take a song and make it last 37 minutes where they really? Just hit certain chords and choruses and just kept going. People are like, "Are you going to turn the page?
You going to move on?"
Well, yeah, I just looked them up on Wikipedia, and it says the band is composed of brothers Caleb, Nathan, and Jared Followill with their cousin Matthew Followill.
So it really is infighting.
Wow. So, I mean, there's got to be a lot of fighting if it's three brothers and a cousin, right?
Yeah, that's true. That would explain a lot of the hate, but still being able to be a band and pull it off.
You're not my brother, Barry, and I can't stand you.
See? That's what he's talking about.
Exactly. I couldn't put it better myself. I'm not my brother, and I can't stand me. So,
fellas, you want to make a lot of money? Because all we got to do now is just make music.
Are you telling me I need to quit radio?
We've got everything else taken care of. We just got to get one or two hit records.
Yeah, exactly.
We can hate each other, tour, and we can make a whole
make
lot
the
of
beats.
Cash.
Boom, boom on the beats.
Hey.
There you go.
We've got the skill set.
Joel on the... What the hell are you going to do?
I don't know. You can rhyme. I'm going to make you've
the
beats.
We
I
both can rhyme. Yeah. What, are you going to play the tambourine?
Yes, you can. The triangle.
Yeah. And on knee cymbals. Ting, ting.
I've always wanted to play the harmonica.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You can try somewhere else.
My wife bought me a harmonica that lasted about 3 minutes.
It's incredibly difficult.
Like
how do people do that?
Bleep this, bleep and bleep.
Kind of like your drum kit. Away.
No, I still play the drums.
Oh, stop it.
I do.
You still
got
have that
elaborate electronic.
My quarterly drumming. Every quarter I go out and I just go play once. Yeah, that's what's crazy. My whole life I wanted a drum kit. Got one, never play it.
I know.
It is kind of fun,
when
though.
You got it. I was like, dude, if he sees this all the way through, this could be good.
But I just have too much stuff going on. And then when I don't, I'm too lazy.
And then I was like a month and a half later, I was like, "How's the drum kit?" Oh, I hang close.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, that's it's fine. Dusty. Somebody wanted to know, when the Astros go to the World Series, do they still have home field advantage? Yes, yep. They have home field advantage throughout.
And it's scheduled to start next Wednesday?
22nd.
Okay.
No matter what, it will be the 22nd. Even if they sweep the Yankees on the road and close it out in game 5, they still won't start up until the 22nd.
There you go. That's the other thing that you got to be at least a bit concerned about if you do advance to play them, is the fact that regardless if they have any rust or not, you're going to face the heart of their rotation set up exactly how they want it. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Another big deal, fellas, while everybody, including us, was worried about an Astros win and getting the victory and all the things baseball related that we've talked about, Jalen Ramsey has a new home. They didn't lie. The only thing that was a bit of a fib was when the owner of the Jags said that Jalen would be coming back and playing, and then he didn't play, and then he had the back injury again. And he became a member of the L.A. Rams last night because the two first-round picks that the Jags said would require in order to procure him from Jacksonville were obtained. Two firsts and a fourth go to the Jaguars so that Ramsey can go to the Rams. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's smart. Good for the Rams. I think that's you know, I wouldn't say they won the trade because 2 ones and a four. Don't forget about the four.
I said all of it.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I mean, look, you did get one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. The only problem is this is similar to kind of the Laremy Tunsil deal for the Texans.
It is.
You didn't bother to negotiate an extension of that contract or anything like that. You got 1 year left with him after this year, and then he's got all the leverage because you just gave up two first-round picks for him. So now you're going to have to pay him whatever he wants in order to keep him so you don't look foolish by giving away those draft picks for a one-and-a-half-year rental.
And it's funny you mentioned that because Chris Canty, the former D lineman for the Giants, was on with John and Lance this morning. And he was talking about the deal. And he said, from a Rams perspective, two things that are of note. One, they're obviously going for it. And this scares me because Bill O'Brien is looking at this situation because we've already heard that he made the Miami deal because he's going for it. In the process of going for it, the Rams went overboard. They now don't have a first-round pick for, I think, 5 years.
That's crazy.
They've just completely unloaded the future on this team. And then the other thing to your point, Barry, is you still there was no contract agreed to in the trade. So you gave the parameters of when he'll be free. In the meantime, next year, the contracts of Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, and I think there's one other player, make up half their payroll. Half. How are you going to create depth and an overall solid roster when a handful of guys control half of your cap?
What were those names again?
Gurley.
Uh-huh.
Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Kupp,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald, and there's at least one. I'm missing one.
Okay. My guess would be that a guy like Cooper Kupp gets traded. That way you at least recuperate some sort of draft pick for all the ones that you've given up, and then you free up a little bit of that cash to make room for Jalen Ramsey. Because you still have, you know, you still have Cooks, you still have Robert Woods.
Right.
Cooper Kupp, not that he's expendable.
I hate to say it, but the one they'd like to get out from under that they can't, Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other one. You know, you can maybe find a contender that needs a running back.
Ain't nobody going to take a chance at him because of the fact that he went from the absolute top of the tops in all of football to a guy that you have no idea, you can't trust him, and you have no idea if he'll ever get it back because what it looks like is that that knee is never going to be right again.
Yeah, he's, you know, what's weird is that he's been scoring, though.
But, I mean, look, he didn't play last week.
He's not putting up the yards, but
he's not getting the touches.
He's already got 5 touchdowns this year.
Because that's part of the way they try and make it still okay with the fan base is to say they put him in short at the goal line, and they know that he's versatile. He didn't play in the biggest game of the year for them so far to date against the Niners last week when they needed them, and the running game suffered mightily.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't know. You can't rely on him. You can't count on him. And he's making a boatload of money.
Yeah, that's the problem with giving running backs big contracts like that.
And it's the problem with your medical staff that didn't do enough due diligence to say, hey, this might be a degenerative condition.
What is Gurley's contract?
It's pretty big.
Look it up.
But we can check it out. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. That means 90's in the books when you hear the music at this time of the day, and that means 90 still to go. We got a second half of the show coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show right here on ESPN 97.5. When you do guest appearances on this station. I guess you do the bench when you just want to shoot bullets and throw crap on the wall and hope it sticks.
What happened?
In the break, my local and loyal numbers guy decided to investigate the Chris Canty stuff.
What does that have to do with the blitz?
No, I didn't say the blitz. I said the bench.
Oh, yeah. What does that have to do with it?
Because Canty joined the bench and then just started spraying stuff all over the place without doing his homework.
Oh,
and as you
so you're
going to
blame him for this?
Because I said where I heard it.
Yeah, so you don't validate any facts before you use them.
Dude, if it was
you
us,
just take people's word for
here
it.
Here I am pumping him up with all the things he's gotten right, and all he's going to do is poop downhill. That a boy. So anyway, thank God he's making what he should be making. As you looked it up, Cooper Kupp is not making a massive amount of money.
Cooper Kupp due about $800K this year, $960K next year. So he's not a problem for the Rams. In 2020, their big contracts, double-digit contracts, is Aaron Donald, Andrew Whitworth, Brandon Cooks, Dante Fowler, Michael Brockers, and Jared Goff. Those are guys all scheduled to make $10 million or more.
And Goff's really Cooks, goes up when? After that? His extension that he signed that was the massive deal?
Yeah, well, let me pull it up. I don't have them all in
front of
me.
When you look at the Rams...
It goes... it depends. Well, it's like you can look at his dead cap money or you can look at the money because that's really what teams care about. You can either look at the cash or the dead cap money. Jared Goff's cap money this year, his dead cap money is $61
million. Good Lord.
That's stupid. Next year, it's 51. Then it drops to 15, 10, and 5. So by the time 2023 rolls around, they can get out from under Jared
Goff. And by the time it gets to that point, he's still a very, very rich man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His career.
And he doesn't look very good right now. No, so you look at that. But the thing about the Rams is, look, Akeem Tlaib was just put on the IR. So he's going to be out for a minimum of, what, you know, 6-7 games. And they've got all kinds of issues with their corners.
What's his name? Peterson to the Braves to the Ravens.
Marcus Peters?
Yeah,
they traded Marcus Peters. See, I missed that, but I'm saying they needed corner help because Tlaib was out. So they bring in.
Yeah, Tuesday they traded Peters to the Ravens,
who had
for Kenny Young and a fifth round pick, and then that's when they put Tlaib on the injured reserve list with that rib injury,
right?
And that's when they made the trade for Jalen Ramsey.
So that's where I was going though. So you lose a Tlaib, but you give Wade Phillips, arguably one of the best D coordinators maybe of all time, but of recent history, a guy that's a shutdown corner that no matter who you're going against, their number one is not going to have any fun when going up against Jalen Ramsey in big games.
Yeah.
And then you can adapt with the rest of your defense because you can put them on an island. So from a Rams perspective, they're obviously – they know what they're doing when they go for it and how they're going about it. Mm-hmm. And Marcus Peters was a guy that I wasn't aware was traded. But at the fact of the matter, you watch any tape on him this year and even at the end of last year when he got all mad with the Saints and stuff. But there's a reason why the Saints were targeting him because he wasn't close to the player that he was.
Yeah, he's not as good as he used to be. Uh-uh. I think he's still serviceable. I think he's still –
serviceable's fine.
Middle of the pack.
Right, but when you're the Rams,
he's not awful, but he's certainly not top five elite cornerback like he used to be, or top 10 or anything like that.
And you're gonna, if you're 15, the Rams, you're gonna face Drew Brees, you're gonna face, all these different. I don't think he's top 15 anymore.
Peters,
Marcus Peters, no way.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in there. Well, I'm not saying he's 11. I'm saying he's probably closer to 15. But you got to remember, there's what, 32 teams.
Yeah, but 15th in the whole league.
Yeah,
he wasn't as good as two guys on his own team.
I guess,
because I can go right off the top and give you five.
See what he's.
I mean, if you talk Stephon Gilmore in a lot of people's minds now is the number one corner in football. Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Peterson, Jalen Ramsey.
Let me do this.
I mean, I don't think he's, Marcus Peters is sniffing the top 15.
No, not Pornhub. I want Pro Football Focus. I just hit the P on here and immediately.
Are you a Knicks computer or yours?
Immediately goes to Pornhub. Here we go. Pro Football Focus player grades. Let's just see what they say. I'm not saying this is the end all be all.
Sure.
All right. On cornerbacks, their grades. They have Quentin Dunbar. This is the highest graded cornerback this year.
Okay.
Jonathan Jones, second. Jason McCourty, third. Shaquille Griffin, four. Tied with Justin Coleman, Jaron Kearse, and Brian Poole.
So how many are we at there?
That's a lot. That's seven.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Harris is eight. K'Wan Williams, 9. DJ Hayden, 10. Witherspoon, 11. Hayward, 12. Nelson, Marcus Peters, 14.
Well, you just picked the wrong site. Because you didn't mention Jalen Ramsey or Patrick Peterson let's see where they or Stephon Gilmore here. Or all these other guys.
They have Gilmore at 19 with a 73.8 rating. Eli Apple at 17.
Eli Apple.
Adoree Jackson. Jair Alexander's up
who
there.
Who is a stud.
15. They have him at 15.
He's good.
Yeah.
And he's a Packer.
Where the hell do they have Ramsey on this list? AJ,
you
got to
be kidding me! And Patrick Peterson, obviously, this year he was suspended for the first four games, but he's ready to come back.
Let's see, Jalen Ramsey. Wow, he's got a 59.6 rating.
There's a good site. So,
what on earth happened there? That is weird. Yeah, that makes this list.
You mentioned one name that's very I'm very interested in because you talk about a guy
Now, this is just this year's grade. So
sure.
You look at Jalen Ramsey in games this year and how many
he's played.
This year
is talking about Gilmore as the number one. ESPN, Fox, all these different guys, they're all talking about Gilmore, ex-players. They're all saying, Gilmore, best corner in all of football. I was like, really? He's that high? But I would say he's in the top 5 or 6. But you got him down there below, like 19. So I don't know.
Let's see. Here you go. Oh, no. This is rankings.
I would keep your – if you're a Texans fan and you know that with Roby out and all the issues with J.J.O. and all the difference with the issues with the secondary, Jason Braddock was the first one I saw that had tweeted this. But it's a great point, and after he and I had a little back and forth, and I asked a few questions. John Elway and the Broncos have said that they're not to the point yet where they're going to start trading all their veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, there's a guy that is a – lockdown corner that's going to be free at the end of the year. So you're not going to have to give up the 2 1s. You're not going to have to give up. And you've got a trade partner in Elway and the Broncos that you were able to make a move with last year with Demaryius Thomas and say, hey, for a third, would you give us Chris Harris Jr.? Because you put Chris Harris Jr. on one corner. And then, assuming Roby does get back, and they've played together, you put Roby and Chris Harris. Now, suddenly, that secondary is totally different. Now you've got Lonnie Johnson and you can work with him and he's a slot guy. You don't like it? You wouldn't give him a third right now for Chris Harris Jr., especially where you just said he was ranked.
Yeah, I would, but again, the whole problem for the Texans for me is giving up draft picks in general
talked about the Rams, and I don't think the Rams right now
that doesn't mean
are any
doing
better
right,
off than the Texans.
But that doesn't mean they're doing the right things though by doing that. Because not only do they not have any picks, but they don't have any cap space. So if the Rams are just going to be mediocre, they're going to be mediocre for a long time.
But they're not mediocre, and so they're going for it.
But they kind of are playing mediocre.
They are right now.
Yeah.
Sure, but I'm saying from a Texans perspective, because you're not the Rams, and you have some of those contracts, but not all of those contracts. But you have Watson coming up. You have some deals you're going to have to make. But when you look at it, if he is in go mode, and Bill O'Brien, whether you call it panic mode or go mode or whatever, and we said short term they're better. So if you want to continue this push and know that you got a lot of momentum right now, you've won a lot of games people didn't think you were going to win, and you're in a really good spot, would you be willing for a third round? You've already given up 2 1s and all the other things you gave up. Would you be willing to just – what's a third at this point?
You're talking about the 2020 draft.
Give up a third and get Chris Harris Jr. You could still re-sign him if you want. You could try it at the end of the year. You could still take a shot at him.
That means you would have no pick in the first round and no pick in the third round.
That's right.
In 2020.
But guess what? For the rest of this season with Roby out and J.J.O. looked like he's getting his doors blown off, you got a veteran guy you can go to.
That means in 2020 you'd have a second round pick, a fourth round pick, a 5, a 6, and a 7.
Okay.
All
right.
Mm.
This is the agree to disagree hour, so go ahead and agree to disagree.
I don't know. I just get, man, they still have more holes to fill. You still got issues on the offensive line. You start drafting linemen in the fourth and fifth and sixth rounds. You can use that second round pick and get a lineman, but if you're trading
to go lower
that third
for a guy
pick,
he knows he's going to lose anyway, and he'll take a fourth or a fifth, go ahead. But I'm just saying, and I asked Jason, I said,
my bad. If Duke Johnson is active for 10 games, they don't have a third round pick this year.
Well, way to go, Bill O'Brien.
So you would have a second and a four. You'd have 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So you couldn't even make the trade. Well, you think you're getting Chris Harris for a four?
Look, depending on what, you know, and there's going to be other teams that are probably looking for a corner, but beat him to the punch. And you've already traded with him before. And if he's going to start clearing house, and you know that, you know, you're not going to have to have the ransom that a Ramsey or a guy under that, you know, has big time potential and has, a contract still intact for at least another year or so, you don't have to pay as much. I'm giving a 4 for Chris Harris. I'm giving a 3 2 years from now for Chris Harris Jr. because I think it's worth that to this team because without him, when you face a T.Y. Hilton, you want J.J.O. on T.Y. Hilton?
Oh, God, no.
You want Lonnie Johnson on T.Y. Hilton?
I don't want J.J.O. on the – I mean, you can move J.J.O. to free safety if you want.
But who's going to guard T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah, I mean, right
and
now.
And you got him twice.
Yeah.
So I'm saying a guy like Chris Harris Jr. keeps you, but he's out for an extended period of time.
Well, I mean, you're talking long term. Right?
But I'm talking for right now. You get him as quick as you can.
Now, yeah.
And make sure you continue to win
so
now.
They do have a third round pick. It was part of the Clowney trade. They traded Clowney to the Seahawks, yeah, for Mingo Martin and a third round pick.
Just for a third round pick. But true, right?
Yeah, so they do have that third round pick.
So they got it. So whatever pick it takes at this point, for a guy that can keep it going in the right direction until you get Roby back, you get healthy, and you figure out what else you're going to do, because you still got Indy twice, and you got a lot of big-time receivers that Jay Joe's already proven he can't guard anymore. What else are you going to do? Even off the scrap heap and free agency market of guys walking around on the street right now, you're not going to get any better than that.
There's not a lot, especially with all the injuries that they have going on. So
that's why I say it. But, you know, hey, it's up to you to disagree. That's fine. All right, we'll continue to roll on. There's a little extra NFL talk in there. And, of course, the Texans getting ready for the first matchup of two this season at Indy, in a place that's been a house of horrors for them over the years, to take on the Colts in what amounts to a very, very big divisional game for the two teams that really are the only two teams that have a chance to sniff the division at the end of the year. So keep that on your radar, as I guess we'll probably try and get Sarah back on a regular spot Friday. Sarah Barshop, ESPN's beat writer for the Texans, will join us hopefully Friday again, so we'll get ready to preview that as we look forward to later in the week. But looking forward to later in the show, plenty more to get to. And if you want something out there on the air that you want to get off your mind, you've had on your chest, bring it to us. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 975.
You're listening to ESPN 975. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
What?
You like this song?
I do.
I do too.
You play this sometimes, bumping in and out for us, right?
I probably have.
When he's mad at us.
No, I like this song. But you
like
this
the song, and you don't like us, so you hope it gives us hell.
Well, that I'm okay with. Yeah, anytime you guys are going through hell,
that's what I figured.
I'm okay with.
Wow. So you've been giddy lately for me. Thanks, Nick.
Nate's going to get you another bicycle for Christmas so you wreck again.
It's nice. No, you know what he's going to do? He's going to get me more of that garden fencing shit.
The metal stuff?
That did the thing to my calf, so I hope he gets the other leg.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guess we got to talk about this because it's still a big deal, but LeBron came out and was asked again about China. And did you see what he said this time around?
No.
I actually feel like he made it worse.
He did. Go ahead.
Yeah, he came out this time and said, look, not everyone cares about every issue, and that's okay. Wait, what? But haven't you been on this stance of social justice, and then he goes into, in the middle of the interview, he starts talking about, look, I can't focus on that because I've got to school with my kids and they're in the hell of the inner city and I'm trying to get them out. And besides, not everyone cares about every issue. So if you don't care, okay, no big deal. If you don't care about China. But it's like, bro, but are you going to get mad if people don't care about the issues you're passionate about? And also, it's not about caring. It's about having compassion. I'm not expecting LeBron James to save Hong Kong. But what's wrong with having a tad bit of compassion? And that's all Daryl Morey was doing, was saying, hey, look, we stand for Hong Kong. Let's educate ourselves and show support for them. No one's going over there to fight the battles in Hong Kong. But what's wrong with tweeting support for them or saying you're supporting the cause? And then LeBron wants to come out and be like, well, you messed with our money. And now he's backed off and said, you know, oh, look, it's just some people don't care, and that's fine.
And now, because of all the heat he's taken, he came out after that and said, okay, now I'm all focused on championships, no more China. I'm not talking a single thing about it ever again. So you waited this long. Then when you realized you really, really stirred it up, now you just want to run and hide from it and say, I'm done. And I got several messages from several people, including tweets. Hey, you're the NBA guy. Find out if this is true. But supposedly, LeBron and Adam Silver, who had a meeting, which that was confirmed. But during the meeting, LeBron wanted Daryl Morey punished for what he did. It's none of your damn business. And he said, you know, and he tried to make up all these excuses about, well, if that was a player, they would have been fined. They would have been, would they have though?
Yeah.
Because players control their own Twitter accounts. They're always free and clear to say
you
and do whatever
they
want.
You think that if a player said, I stand with Hong Kong, they would have been fired? You're an idiot. If you really believe that. that the NBA, with all of the political and social stances that players have taken. I mean, LeBron, there was a picture of him walking around with a Kaepernick shirt on. He wore a jersey. Remember when he wore the shirt that said, "I can't breathe" on the court? Did he get in trouble?
They all did. A lot of them did. But no, they all wore it. But no.
Nobody got in trouble. Right. Nobody got fined.
Right. But I'm saying, here's the thing.
So you can take your political stances because he does.
So everybody's like, investigate it, see if it happened. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a pretty good chance it happened. I don't care. You know why? Because it happens all the time. The same way that no one would have ever thought that a team would put an 81-page report together to cry over spilled milk is the same way that teams on a nightly basis send videos to the league and get all worked up in trying to be tattletales and crybabies and point fingers at other people. But it's not part of the deal. The biggest part of the deal is, LeBron, you're late to the party, and then you screwed it up even more, and now you just want to wipe your hands clean of it. Just own it, and then go away and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I Googled it just to make sure. When they wore the shirts, no fines for NBA players in I Can't Breathe protest. So the fact that he wants Daryl Morey punished for his political stances and viewpoints doesn't jive. Again, it's just more hypocrisy on his part if it's true. And that's the key, though, is we don't know if it's true.
Right,
or not.
And I'm not even going to bother calling my sources and friends to say, yeah, hey, I need this info, because it's not that big of a deal, people. Whether it happened or not, it didn't happen. And here's the other thing, that just like the way I've said in the past, the way teams operate, which you don't think there should be favoritism amongst teams. Just the way teams, before they make a trade or are contemplating a trade, are going to only bring in their top two players and say, what do y'all think about this? And not include your 8th, 12th, and 15th man. It's the same way from a league perspective. No, Jared Dudley's not going to be in the conversation when talking about how we handle this. But your biggest worldwide face is probably going to be consulted.
Yeah.
And since he was in China at the time.
Let me read you the end of his statement here, and you tell me if you can spot the hypocrisy in this. All right? Here's his quote. I'm going to read it verbatim. We don't talk about those stories enough. Now, he's referring to when he was talking about inner city kids growing up in Akron and the hellhole of the inner city. That's his words, not mine. All right? But he said, we don't talk about those stories enough. We want to talk about so many other things as well. There's issues all over the world. I think the best thing we can do is, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it, because it puts you in a tough position. Do you see the hypocrisy here? Two of them. One is, he starts the sentence with, we don't talk about those stories enough, but he ends it by saying, if you're not passionate about it, don't talk about it. That doesn't make any sense. And then he says, the best thing you can do is, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. That's exactly what Daryl Morey did.
Absolutely.
You make no sense, LeBron.
No, not at all. And that's why I said, just at the same time, look, we're not telling anybody to shut up and dribble, but just as he's saying to everybody else,
stay out of it.
Stay out of it, or do a whole lot of research, more than what you did here, and then have some discussions in terms of what you're going to say publicly when, by the way, you decided to chime in a week after it was top of the charts pertinent.
Yeah, the problem is that he comes out and says, look, it was such a rough week for us, and you really affect. Basically, what he's saying is, you made it difficult for us in China to travel first class and eat great meals and be pampered and babied while we were there. We didn't get as much of that. And you may have cost me some money with my shoe deal and Nike and the NBA and everybody else. Bro, that's a weak argument if you're going to sit there and come back. And your final statement on the matter is, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. That's what he did. That's exactly what he did.
You're absolutely right. All right, you know what you actually could be right on, too? You're picking the right energy company, because if you pick Infuse Energy, you're doing exactly what I would do, and that's what I did 3 years ago. I chose Infuse. They saved me thousands over the last 3 years over my previous energy provider, and they show you all the numbers up front. They email you your weekly bill, and with it, they give you pie charts and graphs that show you when you use energy the most, when you use energy the least. So when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a live operator and not an automated system, and they're going to ask you those questions. questions. They're going to get down to brass tacks until they can figure out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business or your family? And they're going to pinpoint the best deal and the best rate they can possibly get for you. They are going to make sure that they never screw you over. They're 100% honest. And there are going to be a rare few times when other companies out there can beat their rates. They're going to let you know because they never want you to feel like you're being bamboozled. They want you to feel like you're dealing with an honest friend. And that's the best thing you can ask for any business partner that you do anything with. Check them out. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2 or infuseenergy.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 right up the top. You get a $25 bill credit and they'll go from there. They'll ask you the questions. You'll give them the answers. And you'll find out like I did, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, 100% green energy at your fingertips, and oh, by the way, a 5 out of 5-star rating from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get, and they got it for you. I'm telling you right now, you won't be disappointed if you infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.